welcome to another edition of Blast Points Presents. And this time we are thrilled to once again host the audio version of a conversation that that guy Tom Spina from Regal Robot is having once again with the legend Ken Ralston.
It's a legendary conversation between two legendary individuals. One more legendary than the other, but both legends in their own legendariness.
And this is all going around the just announced Ken Ralston Klaatu archive replica that Regal Robot did, and the amazing The Legacy Edition with Ken Ralston's drawings of Klaatu that he did that are just so insanely cool.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff.
Ken is just the best, and you know what you're getting here. You're getting Spina, you're getting Ken Ralston. They're talking about old ILM stuff. They're talking about Klaatu. So enough of us talking about it. Let's just roll that audio. Here it comes.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. It is me, and I'm joined again by Ken Ralston. Ken, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate, you know, you were a part of our Weequay edition a year or so back. It was a really, really fun one. And I just want to thank you for coming back to do Klaatu. I guess we did okay. You came back.
Yeah, you did okay. No, you guys do great work. And everything I've seen that you've done, it's really spectacular. It's really great that you're doing that too.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, for us, so much of it is about the magic that happened behind the scenes and yeah, trying to celebrate not just the movie or the characters, but actually the artistry and the artists that did it, such as yourself. Mm-hmm. So that is why we're here. And I think I feel very lucky that the fans that we've connected with kind of share that same passion for that stuff.
After all these years.
Yes. Not that many.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you were one of the younger guys back then, right?
Like back then, I was. I think now I've caught up to everybody.
That's right, and sadly, I feel like I'm starting to catch up with people at this point. I think I just hurt my back sitting in the chair, funny. Yeah. So Klaatu is why we're here today. We, for anybody who's listening or watching, we are releasing our replica of the Klaatu concept maquette, which Ken sculpted for Return of the Jedi. And Klaatu feels very in sync with Weequay. They're very similar scales. Is that a scale you like, that sort of like 4 or 5 inch tall bust?
It was, I didn't want to get any smaller than that because it was just harder to sculpt. And I didn't want to go bigger because, you know, despite, you know, you look back at these things and you go, wow, you know, they just sat around and they did this stuff. We were doing a lot of other things. We had to get these done. There was a deadline. So I think the first one I did was Weequay because it looks like I put more detail in it. And what I remember about it is, for Klaatu, though I could be dead wrong, but I think I was never going to sculpt that lizard idea. George was requesting it. So he must have had something in his mind about what he wanted out there on the skiff out in the desert. So that's where I came up with that.
Gotcha.
And the size was good. Now I did some fuller sized ones too. They just take longer, it takes more time. And I know I had to get that because George wanted to see it. And when you sent me the photos of it, because I haven't seen it for a very long time, it looked a little different in the sculpting, a little simpler in some ways. But you recognize this too. I was looking at it close going, wow, I've got a million transparent layers of tape or on tape, paint on this thing, not tape. Yeah. See, the mind is going. And I was sort of impressed by my own work as it kind of shocked me. It's like, wow, I just put a million different things on there just so the colors would be especially hard for you to find. Yeah, when you're painting it.
Yeah, that is always, it's so funny because we do, you know, we do Pantone matches on these things when we get to the archives and we're looking at the original and we light it a certain way and we do all our photos and color cards and all that stuff. And then you get in and you try and match and you're like, well, well, which one's the base color? You know, it's like, how do I?
Right. Where is it?
And even once you find the base color, you're like, well, I think there's a wash of a yellow over top. So it's got to be less green than this and more blue on the base. And oh, this was a tricky one to do the paint mastering.
I was imagining it would be. And I just flash back to those days where you're not even thinking about what you're doing. You're just slopping acrylic paint together, going, maybe good, cool, and racing through it.
Isn't it something, you know, we often, so, you know, we do work as an effect shop for things where you're kind of creating things, and we do the replica work with Regal. And I often will tell people, I would much rather make something from scratch than replicate something, because you're wrong, you know? It's like, yeah, he's a little yellow on this side. Yep, that's just how he is.
That's how he is.
You said you had a lot of other stuff going on. During the time that, so you were helping the Creature Shop basically do concept work on a bunch of these different maquettes. Where else were you at ILM? What other stuff was happening around that?
Well, time? What did we just came off of what?
Dragon Slayer, I think.
Dragon Slayer, that's what it was. And they were ramping up on Jedi, and the Monster Shop that we called it was taking shape, and Phil was heading up all that in the U.S., and I was sort of brought into there. Now, to be honest, I really didn't want to be in the Creature Shop for the whole movie. I don't think anyone really knew how things were going to develop. It's just how it is on these things. Mm-hmm. And so I got in there and was doing that. And I was also hearing about possibly Star Trek II coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really how it all evolved, which was I was doing the maquettes and some eye drawings and stuff and anything that they were asking. Still wasn't sure if I was going to be in the Monster Shop or not. And then Trek 2 came in, so I was planning for that. And I basically went off and did all of Star Trek 2, the whole thing, and then came back to do Jedi. That's how long Jedi was going on.
You came back, that was all visual effects at that point. That was doing...
Right. Phil had gone to England. They were shooting everything. So by the time I came back, it was all spaceships and all the zillions of other things that you have to shoot.
Oh, my gosh. When you mentioned doing some sketching, when you did Klaatu or any of the others, do you recall if you sketched stuff out first or did you work it out in the clay?
For myself, I'm sure I did some doodles or tried to figure out what I might want to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't show those to anybody.
Right.
I think there's some drawings I may have done for Jedi. I can't even remember now.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know there is. If I could just remember. In fact, I think one of them, this shows you what I'm doing. One of them had a, I'll call it the monster dog, creature dog. And it wasn't used in the movie, so a version of that actually showed up in Star Trek 3.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Christopher Lloyd's dog.
Right. So, oh, well.
There's no, look, a good idea never dies.
I guess, yeah. Let's hope so.
The doodle doesn't go away. And that little guy, he was Sculpey, right?
It's made out of Sculpey, which was a great material for all of us to use. You have to learn a little bit. You've probably used it. So, it's not like sculpting terracotta clay or any of that. It's a little elasticy.
Yeah.
So there's some tricks you can do, and you paint it with lacquer thinner and it melts it a little bit and all that shtick. Yeah. But what's great about it is once you get something, you can throw it in your oven. Half an hour later, you're painting.
Yeah.
And with acrylic, because once I tried the enamel, and that was a big mistake, it melted it.
Yeah. It's funny. I always liken it to sculpting with Starburst candies. Like, it has that, like, you push into it and it wants to come back a little bit.
Yeah, don't stay down where I'm putting it.
What are you doing?
So it's just like learning how to use a new material. I think I also tried cooking it for a little bit. See what that would do to the surface, and then made it a little different to kind of carve into.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, or like heat gunning the surface or something.
Yeah.
Give it a little bit of a little tooth. you talk about how Klaatu was one that George specifically requested, or in this case, just a generic lizard creature.
Right.
So I've heard a little bit about George coming through, you know, weekly or whatever, and looking at all the designs and picking which ones he wants. Were you ever there for that? And is that a nerve-wracking thing?
You know, it's weird. It's not nerve-wracking in a weird way, because we'd already been through the mill on two other Star Wars movies. I almost said Star Trek. Sorry, fans. I did them both, so I get confused.
Yeah.
And really, working with George is a different thing. He's one of the gang. Mm. It wasn't like, oh, my God, George Lucas is coming. Oh, Lord. And yeah. He would come by, and it was fun. I mean, that's the basis. I think I've said this many times. As hard as everything was there, and it was hard, it was also fun at the same time. And it was kind of fun to be able to put these things together. And, of course, they all didn't get picked. Okay, nice. Who cares? And so it was just he'd come by, and I don't ever remember getting nervous or being really disappointed in something not being picked. I just don't even have that memory.
That's a rare thing in the industry.
It is now.
Fair. The name of this one. So we keep saying Klaatu. Everybody obviously harkens back Klaatu, Barada Nikto. You know, one of my favorite movies with.
Same here.
Stood still. Tom Sanamon claims that was his doing was saying we should name three of them Klaatu, Barada Nikto.
It could be. I have no memory of it. In fact, that name just, in fact, I think the first time I even paid attention to the name was probably when you brought it up.
Yeah, well, it's funny because in the production, they were calling him Woof, like W, three O's and an F. And I'm like,
I like that.
Yeah, Woof is a great name. I don't know if it looks like, I don't think lizard when I think.
No.
Like, I'm thinking furry. I'm thinking, you know.
Right. You
know, I remember we've you know, seen some of the production paperwork, and it's like, you know, send over three of this, four of that, two Woofs, you know. Okay. The only last thing I'll ask about on the sculpting aspect of it was the full size. So I think Dave Carson sculpted the full size mask for Klaatu.
I imagine.
And what, you know, what's your take? I think I sent over some pictures of the final versus the mechanic. How do you feel about the development of it into that full size?
Well, to be honest, I was slightly disappointed in that. I thought it was too soft, too generic, just sort of a lizard. And Dave did a great job. Dave, if you're watching this, forgive me for complaining. But you know me, I complain.
Oh, no.
And so when I walked in and saw that, it was like, okay, because mine was more severe looking. I thought desert feeling and heat, and it didn't have like a softer sort of nondescript kind of expression. So I was like, okay, well, there you go. That's why these doodles that I've done
for
some of these things are a combination sometimes of both. One's more like Dave's, more like mine. I'm just screwing around.
Beautiful segue. But I really do appreciate you taking some digs at Dave so we could start an old school ILM fight here. You
know, yeah.
I imagine, you know, when you're not outside in the parking lot shooting Death Star things blowing up, there's just fist fights. You know?
Big fist fights, a lot of arguments and screaming. Yeah.
Yes, yes. How could you soften the details on my lizard guy?
I should have grabbed it and just mushed it all up.
Oh, no. I'll just say thank you for jumping in on the whole idea of the sketch edition. You know, you were one of the first people we mentioned it to, and you were like, that sounds like fun. So I will just ask, was that fun?
It was fun. Took me a few beats to, because again, I haven't seen this guy for a lot of years in as close up as you sent me those reference photos. So, you know, I kind of got the drill down. Okay, this is what I'm doing. Then it started to get faster. And then I started screwing with it, as you know. So some of them are pretty silly and some of them are just kind of straight. And, you know, it was fun. It was fun to play around with what dumb things I could do with them.
I love the variety. I think that's the coolest thing about this is that, you know, it's not a cookie cutter thing. And then, yeah, you know, we could say, hey, what's your sensibility? What do you feel? What are you into on this? What, you know, what gets you going? And just sort of turned you loose on it.
No, it was great.
Did you go in? So a lot of them, they you know, they're ink, there's some color. Did you start in pencil? Do you go right in for ink? Like, what's your process?
What I did with this was, and also when I got into it, I was thinking, man, I really should have done what Phil did, because it was taking me a long time. And I know Phil spent a lot of time thinking about what he was drawing, but at least he was smart enough to simplify what he was doing on those tiny little cards.
Yeah, he made them very loose. Yeah.
So once I got trapped into what I was doing, then I, because you wanted a consistency.
Yeah, you don't want someone to be disappointed.
But what I would do is, because it's been a while, I would do a light pencil rough, just something where I knew where things were. Mm-hmm. Then I would grab the pen. It was just like a Sharpie fine line, and do that. Erase the pencil, grab what old crummy felt tip pens I had here. And I just used those. Yeah.
The color is a really nice touch. I think so one, they're super consistent. You know, we've done this now with Phil twice for the Wampa and the Rancor. We did it with Tom Sanamond on Prune Face, and now you with Klaatu. And it's been interesting seeing the variety of styles. You know, Phil's stuff is really wild and all over the place, and different angles and scenes and like just parts of things, hands.
It kind of felt like when I glanced at the images that you had on that advertisement for it, yeah, it was like I was looking at storyboards.
Almost, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Tom was very, you know, crisp and very regimented and
right,
consistent. And it's like, ah, that's the armature guy. Okay, I got this.
That's right. That's true. Yeah.
And then yours had some more color and fun to them. And, you know, personally, I love that element of fun. I think that that's, you know, to me, I often will tell people if I see a sculpt or, you know, something, it could be this terrifying monster. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like, to me, fun is the best compliment you can give on a monster, you know. Do you feel that, like, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in your drawings over the years?
Oh, yeah.
Feel that's your thing? Where does that come from? What's wrong with you is what I'm asking.
Well, so many people would like to know that, but what's wrong with me? I guess it's just from, I don't know. I like a good laugh. I enjoy like growing up. And a lot of what I've said this before, too, it's like even in the spaceship stuff, like on, let's say, Empire Strikes Back or anything where I, in the weirdest small ways, inspiration from Chuck Jones or Tex Avery, it's in handling animation. And it can be slightly whimsical, or it can be just kind of plodding through a series of, you know, things you have to shoot with it. But you can give it character, you can play with it, you can enjoy it. And plus, I've always enjoyed just drawing ridiculous cartoons and things like that, because I've always loved them my whole life. I mean, I grew up reading Mad Magazine and admiring the great work they did. And, you know, it's all that stuff. And it just kind of is absorbed into me now, I think.
And now it's oozing out onto everything else.
It still is. I mean, I still doodle all the time.
That's great. Yeah, I feel like there are people here who work for us. Like, you can't leave paper near them because it's just going to get all over. Is that you? If there's paper within a few feet?
Yes, that's true. I do a lot more digital stuff now, but like when probably during Jedi or anything at ILM, I was always, it actually helps me think. So if I'm thinking about shots or something, or how I want to design it, I may be drawing some stupid, ridiculous character at my desk, doing that, then playing with that, and it kind of distracts me enough that I can think clear, weirdly. And so that's what's wrong with me. and then I would throw a lot of them away. And then I was finding out that people were taking them out of the trash and keeping them. And so if I was going to throw it away, I wouldn't crumble it up. I would just throw it in without messing it up. And then some people took them.
That's thoughtful. Yes. You use the word whimsical. I love that as a word. John Berg once described his sculpting style as twisted whimsy.
Yeah.
That was a really neat term. Do you have a sense? Do you have a you know, what you would even call your drawing style?
Oh, you know, I kind of move. I don't. I have no idea. I think it's been inspired by a lot of different artists over the years, like Jack Davis, Mort Drug. I mean, all the guys at MAD, but then all through all sorts of things. You can travel through the street, great cartoonists all over the place. You know, Wally Wood, any of these guys are geniuses. And I was probably trying to emulate them early on when I was growing up and failing miserably, but it was slowly turned into my own style.
That's how
But that style, I keep changing mediums and looks, and I like constantly changing or attempting to change just out of sheer boredom of doing the same thing over and over. So that's kind of how that happens.
Mm-hmm. And you feel that style follows you?
It seems to, yeah. I mean, I know I fall into the same things. I just am not aware of it sometimes.
So you mentioned digital before. Do you still sketch traditionally a lot? Have you moved to computer sketching? Do you, you know, what? Where do you go first? If you have an idea you want to get down on paper or whatever, get down, where do you put it?
You know, it's funny because it's whatever I'm near.
So
if I'm near a piece of paper, like right here, I would go.
Right.
I think in a weird way, it's same with writing, just because I grew up in a different, you know, world. When I'm doing something on paper, I think I'm more free about messing it up, you know, and sketching, even though with digital, you can change it a million times and not worry about anything. But I kind of can start there, but I'm getting more and more used to like using an iPad and flying through that. And if I don't like it, it's gone and move on to something else.
A different world indeed. It's a different world even than 15 years ago at this point. You know, it's like
very much so. But it's fun doing all the different techniques. I just enjoy it.
Do you feel you have a sculpting style?
Not that I'm aware of. I just kind of, when I was at Cascade, for instance, and people like, you know, Phil Tippett would come by and he'd be doing stuff. And it's sort of like seeing what other people are doing, and John Berg and Lane Liska and all those guys, watching things form and then trying my own version of that when I was trying to figure it all out. And it just sort of happened. I never was that comfortable sculpting. I haven't done it for quite a few years now. But I do enjoy it. And it's interesting. It's a very different process. So you can start with this blob of stuff. But there are interesting three-dimensional things that happen inside you as you're forming these things. And it can change drastically your original intent when you start to see what's really going on as it takes shape, turning it around a million times. And anyway, that's very different. But as far as a style or anything, I have no clue.
It's interesting that you say that it can kind of develop as you're sculpting it a little more loosely. Whereas, you know, once it's a drawing, it's the proportions are done. That's how it's drawn. And that's how it is. But yeah, I consider myself much more of a sculptor than I do a sketch artist. I can draw. Uh-huh. I'm much more comfortable, especially if it was like a person. Like, I would gladly sculpt this person rather than. But you I can see what you're saying about, like, you just move it and you're like, oh, yeah, that nose isn't in the right spot.
No, that doesn't work. Yeah, so I'll make it this shape now. And it's like, oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Especially if you know it's going to be used as a mask in Jedi or something like that, where it has to cover a lot of different angles and shots. It's like, well, okay, I'll do this.
Yeah, nobody's just seeing that from one angle. You've got to make sure that looks good all around.
Yeah.
Do you find that sometimes, especially on a concept sculpt, that you let the clay sort of take you where it goes? Like, are you more open to changing it because you know it's a concept and not something that's already, you know, got to be replicated?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll start more with a tighter sketch. And Wee Kwei and Klaatu, I'm sure it's like some of these things I needed to work out stuff that in a sketch first. I didn't want to waste time trying to keep messing with a sculpture. But others, I think I didn't even bother. I just had an idea and I would mess with it and see if it started to work. If it starts to take shape and there's something there, mm-hmm. I guess it's that classic thing where you say, you know, you've got a block of marble and the sculpture's in it already. You just have to go in and find it. Thank God I wasn't using marble.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Sculpey is a lot better.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different ways of approaching it. And I guess I kind of like all different ways.
I definitely agree with you that I'm glad that we're not carving this stuff out of marble. That's, oh my God.
That's why I'm sure, like with you, I'm sure if you go to a museum and you see an exquisite work of art in marble, you just think, how was that even possible? How did Bernini do that? I don't even know how.
Slowly.
Slowly.
I don't even know.
Very carefully.
Yeah. Very well. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, I believe we covered this on the last one, but my friends and I will look at the space battle shots in Return of the Jedi and do that same reaction where we're going, they're doing this and they're shooting, the camera's moving backwards from the way the ship has to move and it's blue screen, but they can't see a previs, so they have to layer it all and then send it out for thing and then come back and then comp it and then see if it worked. Like, how did you do that?
It's hard to, I don't even know if we can explain it. You know, it's just for some of us, it's like it's very clear in my head,
right?
What has to happen. And so
that's how
that helped.
Yeah. Oh, all right. They're geniuses. Got it. Okay.
We're geniuses. And, you know, I mean, let's not dance around it.
Let's come on.
Just kidding.
Well, do you think in this digital age that traditional art will endure?
I hope so. I mean, it's all part of, you know, these are all tools and blah, blah, blah. Although it'll probably really endure. Actually, you brought this up. So yeah, it will endure. In fact, it's going to become so important because visual effects artists are going to be basically let go. AI is going to do all the work. There'll be like 10 people running an entire facility. And, you know, so the real thing done by this is nuts. People, humans doing the work. I can't even understand that. Who would want to see anything like that? Isn't it nuts what's going on? It just makes no sense to me.
I am with you. It's very strange. I've been pleased that there seems to be a little bit more of a push for traditional creature work over the last.
That's true. That yeah.
And that's been gratifying to some degree. I don't know if it's like a too little too late kind of scenario or something like that, but
yeah.
I hope that that continues. And I hope that, you know, in a way I do think there is an element of like, you know, once enough of this is now done by a computer, not even on a computer, but by a computer.
That is the thing.
Oh, well, we could put a few people on making these things. And actually,
I hope so.
In an actor's hands. Let's go into a happier subject, I hope. I don't know. How does it feel knowing? So we've already delivered a bunch of the weequays. We've got people who have, we've delivered all of the weequays at this point. That was a little while ago. We have people who have full collections now of all of these maquettes, these beautiful little mini sculptures that we've been recreating and stuff. And there are people excited to put your work, your sculpture, your sketches in those collections and proudly display them in their homes. How does that feel for you?
You know, I always have the weirdest reaction, which is it all just doesn't seem real. I guess it's all about the reality of what the world was like when we were making these movies and then moved on to other movies and moved on to other movies. To what these particular films have turned into is astounding, and I don't really get it. I mean, I'm glad, and it's very rewarding that people are really interested in the work that we did, because it was a very unique time. And I think all of us who worked on these films look back at that and our experiences and more modern films that we've worked on, and it's like, yep. I'm not so sure that'll ever come back like that ever again, which is so sad. So it's kind of nice that people kind of cherish these things and love having them around, and I guess hearing these stories that we tell and all of that stuff. And it is kind of amazing to me.
Well, it's amazing to me. I certainly love hearing the stories. I hope everybody who's been watching today have enjoyed. I know that the collectors who bring our stuff home just greatly appreciate, and they have told us this, how much they appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me about this stuff and to share those stories. They really genuinely do love that stuff, and they love this art. And I just feel lucky that we get to share a bit of what you did, you know, with them, with the world, and to put this stuff out there for people to enjoy. And I feel pretty darn lucky for that. So thank you for making that time today.
Well, my pleasure. I always like talking to you. And again, when I see the work that you guys are doing, it's well worth talking to you and being involved in some of the stuff that you're reproducing. It's fun.
Thank
see,
you.
There's that word again. Fun.
That's it.
If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, you heard him, everybody. That's it. Well, thank you for having fun with us, Ken.
And, my pleasure.
I really appreciate your time today. And everyone who's watching, thank you. Like and subscribe and do all that stuff the kids say. Take care, everybody.
Bye.